Update, brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Monday, 18th of March, 2024 from Manx Radio. Looking at the Isle of Man news, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the Manx sport for the next 30 minutes. Queen Camilla is here this Wednesday. Health ministers cleared of allegations of bullying. The vexed question of dilapidated properties. The Ireland plan and the tax strategy under Tim Wolfe's scrutiny this week. And the Ravens went down 3-2 on Saturday.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Tessa Hawley.
Fastamai, a redacted version of the report which clears the health minister of a bullying allegation has been published. Members of the Health Services Consultative Committee had claimed Laurie Hooper had subjected them to an hour-long rant last year. Whilst the report dismisses the complaints, it does state the minister was able to and should have diffused the tension at the meeting. A guerrilla gardening campaign that took place over the weekend had the desired effect, according to the Russian MHK, who spearheaded it. Michelle Hayward planted a number of daffodils in the potholes on Portsmouth Mary High Street on Saturday. A Loganair pilot from the island has landed in the Isle of Man for the final time after 14,000 hours of flying. Stephen Thursfield is retiring today following a 40-year career, an occasion marked at Ronald's Way by a water cannon salute. In international news, Israel's military has raided Gaza's main hospital, claiming Hamas is using it as a base. It says it's killed 20 gunmen at the Shifa hospital. Meanwhile, a UN-backed report has warned famine is imminent in northern Gaza, where 70% of the population is facing catastrophic hunger. Barack Obama's been in Downing Street for a surprise meeting with the UK Prime Minister. It's believed the former US President's visit to Rishi Sunak wasn't official business. And the government's controversial Rwanda bill has returned to the Commons, where it could face more challenges from backbench MPs. Ministers are seeking to overturn attempts by members of the House of Lords to rewrite part of the plan. Those are your headlines, news in full, at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's private client team. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Cara Mayer, thank you, Tessa. From the Ronald's Way Met Office, we've got a strong wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is moderate or rough, becoming slight to moderate. A wet evening on the island in prospect, moderate to fresh southerly. Overnight minimum is 8 degrees Celsius. And for Tuesday, Jemert, any early rain will clear, then dry with sunny intervals in a moderate southwesterly, falling light later. Daylight maximum 12, down to 6 through the night. And for Ukraine, Wednesday, a chance of some early rain, then light, dry with sunny spells in a light to moderate north-northwesterly. Highest temperature 10 degrees Celsius. Tides on the way back in, high water in just under half an hour's time at 6:02. Sunset 6:29. Low water 1 a.m. Sunrise in the morning 6:22. And the morning high water at 7:06.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Queen Camilla will officially declare Douglas a city this week. Further details of her visit on Wednesday have been released, and the report from Amy Griffiths.
Douglas was one of 8 towns in the British Isles to be promoted to the city status as part of the celebrations for Queen Elizabeth II's Platinum Jubilee in May 2022. The last time Camilla came to the island was back in 2012, then as Duchess of Cornwall. She'll start her visit in Douglas, where she'll preside over a ceremony at the City Hall before unveiling a plaque on Ridgeway Street at around 1:15. Her Majesty will then make her way to Government House in Onchan, where she'll be met by senior members of Tynwald and a number of representatives from a range of organisations, charities and community groups. There'll also be more than 100 children from Onchan and Cronkyberry schools, as well as army cadets. The visit's expected to finish shortly after 3 o'clock, when the Queen will travel back to Ronald's Way Airport. Camilla is making the visit on behalf of King Charles after his prostate cancer diagnosis earlier this year. The Lieutenant Governor, Sir John Lorimer, says he's delighted to welcome her, while the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, says the Manx community stores great pride in hosting the Queen's visit. There are a number of road closures and restrictions in place from 6 o'clock on Wednesday morning as a result of the visit. For a full list, head to manxradio.com.
A redacted version of the report which clears the Health Minister of a bullying allegation has been published. Chief Minister Alfred Cannon initially said the findings wouldn't be released because of the amount of information that would need to be withheld. But Laurie Hooper, MHK, today said he welcomed the report's publication.
Well, I'm glad it's published, to be honest. Obviously, from the outset, I knew that the complaint itself didn't stack up. The report, I think, confirms that unequivocally. To my mind, it's pretty black and white in terms of what it says. It confirms that even around the things that I said in the House of Keys, for example, I wasn't wrong to say that. And we'll draw our own conclusions from what that means. And actually, it confirms again, for the avoidance of doubt, what I've been saying all along, which is that the committee, as was not operating in accordance with prescribed statute. So from my perspective, it's a clean sweep. It says exactly what I was hoping it would say when it was published. And I'm quite glad the Chief Minister has seen fit to release it. My understanding is this has been released in accordance with the principles of freedom of information, which means things like personal data or legal opinions would have been redacted. I'm assuming, having read through it, from the context of the bits that look like they've been removed, looks to be around the opinions that were submitted by various people, which I think would form under personal data. So I'm assuming that's what the redactions relate to. So I don't really have a view on the redactions, quite frankly. It's not my report. Like I say, as far as I'm concerned, the Chief Minister said he would release it in accordance with FOI principles. It looks to me to be what he's done, and the report, I think, speaks for itself.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
The island plan and the government's tax strategy will be both open to comment by Tynwald members this week after the 24-question paper is published. Chief Minister Alfred Cannon will ask members to approve the updated version of his vision for the development of his administration. Here's John Moss.
Since the budget last month, Mr. Cannon has been subject to a deal of robust criticism over the fiscal direction in which he and Treasury Minister Dr. Alex Allenson are taking the island. Indeed, there was even talk of a vote of no confidence in the Council of Ministers, a threat that has seemingly evaporated. These two motions, tax and the island plan, will give members the chance to voice concerns. After that, a lengthy debate is likely when the Isle of Man Electoral Commission puts forward a number of recommendations, including affirming that constituencies should be of equal size by population and that the existing Keys, 12 two-seat constituencies, be retained. Tynwald could also see the return of an MLC. Marlene Masker will give evidence at the bar on the final report of the Tynwald Built Heritage Committee, but only if members agree to her appearing. The committee has 19 recommendations, including that all demolition should be classed as development. The question paper that starts off the session includes questions on the steam packet, details of backup vessels between November last year and this month, and on leasing terms for the Liverpool Ferry Terminal. Also a question on the Ben McCree's Air Pollution Certificate and any technical and regulatory issues which the packet ferries have been subject to in that period. A question on access to school buses and whether the prison is reaching capacity. An update on school relationship and sex education. Progressing cattle through the meat plant. The lifespan of the Pullrose Power Station and Douglas City Council's housing development strategy. March Tynwald is likely to require at least a second day.
FC Isle of Man's manager hopes the Ravens will be able to put their weekend defeat behind them when they return to action midweek. After the 3-2 loss at Cheadle Town on Saturday, the Manx side travel to Earlham on Wednesday when Paul Jones is hoping for a better result.
We've just got to be a lot more consistent, and I keep saying that again and again and again, and we've had to make some changes again today, which doesn't help all of the time with that consistency, and that's really what we're fighting for. And I think the main reason we're so disappointed and upset is probably because we we really wanted to push on towards those playoff places, and you know, we wanted to go on a run of wins and a game that we should have won. We haven't, and that means that we're less likely to achieve the aim that we have for the end of the season.
Got to quickly reset again with another game in midweek up against Earlham on Wednesday night. So how important is that you can turn that frustration, I suppose, and channel it into something more positive in the next game in a few days' time?
Yeah, you're right. That's the big challenge, isn't it? And we're not despondent and down in the dumps. I think the frustration and the disappointment and the anger comes from a good place, because we can see we're doing well, and because our performance was really good for large parts of the game, and that's where it comes from. So, you know, we need to kind of put this one to bed, sort of thing, once we get back on Ireland, and then look forwards to another opportunity against Ireland to, you know, re-establish ourselves and how we want to play, and do that hopefully in a more consistent manner in and out of possession on Wednesday, and hopefully really put in a good performance and come back with 3 points against a very difficult Earlham side.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The motor vessel Manxman departed Heysham at 2:55 this afternoon. She won't be into Douglas till just before 6:30, maybe after 6:30, onto the link span. Departing this evening at 7:45 on schedule, arriving in Heysham at 11:30. The overnight departure is 2:15 a.m. back to Douglas at 6 tomorrow morning. And Tuesday, 19th of March, morning departure 8:45. Manxman heads to Heysham.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
More should be done to encourage owners of empty or dilapidated properties to invest in them, according to a Ramsey MHK. Dr. Alex Allenson, who's also Treasury Minister, says conversations are already happening about how this can be enforced in the future.
I think the key responsibility actually is the owners. Now, some of them haven't necessarily got the money to do up their properties, but that's why I think they should look at working with governments. We had the Infrastructure Investment Scheme to look at brownfield site developments, and I know that several companies in Ramsey applied for that but were unsuccessful in the first round. That's fine. We've got more time to look at that. But actually, we've got some relatively wealthy landlords up in Ramsey who I think could do more to their properties to bring them back into active use. And that's why, from a Treasury perspective, after a Tim Wald motion, we are looking at how we could use the rate system or actually a land tax system to actually work as a carrot and stick approach to bring some of these back into use. But also we've got to deal with some of the stumbling blocks, particularly around planning. And this administration, we keep on saying we need to get rid of some of the blocks in terms of some of the planning restrictions that apply. Parts of Ramsey are, you know, protected in terms of the heritage sites, in terms of the buildings there. So it is sometimes difficult to put up new buildings in certain areas. But there are some sites that have been, you know, left vacant for years that people have wanted to put money in and have been registered. So particularly the Old Britannia pub, for instance, I know people who wanted to do that up. There's been lots of different schemes, but it hasn't come to fruition yet. I think more could be done in terms of looking at the planning, looking at the incentives, but also looking at the disincentives to get people to actually, you know, put their money where their mouth is and invest in some of these areas in Ramsey.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 17 minutes now before 6, the Phoenix Group slumped today after the Times suggested it'll report a one-off provision of £70 million in its annual results this Friday to cover the cost of reducing customer charges. According to the Times, Phoenix, of course, were formerly the Pearl Group, the insurance services provider, will cover a cut in the annual pension charges across old funds and other customer support measures to comply with the Financial Conduct Authority's new consumer duty rules. And for a full daily market report, go to ramseycrockhall.com. McDonald's says the technical problems which brought much of its fast food chain to a standstill on Friday were caused by a third-party provider. McDee's said the global breakdown happened during a configuration change and stopped stores taking orders in the UK, Australia and Japan, amongst others. McDonald's stressed the issue wasn't caused by a cyber attack. Stores in the UK and Australia are open again after their systems froze. Those in Japan are reportedly also resuming trade after being forced to close. McDonald's Chief Information Officer Brian Rice said the company experienced a global technology system outage, which was quickly identified and corrected. Many countries are now operating normally while the rest are in the process of coming back online.
The Stock Market Report. brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets had a lacklustre start to the new trading week. The dollar edged down, oil climbed and gold firmed as investors waited a series of central bank meetings this week. And here are the numbers reported by Ramsey Crookall. At the close in London, the FTSE 100 down 0.6%, 7,722. In Germany, in Frankfurt, the DAX was up marginally, 0.1%, but up 17,939. A short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial up 0.4%, 38,865. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index is up just over 1.1% at 16,150. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up 0.9% at 5,161. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is trading at $1 27.2 cents, €1 17 cents, and 24 South African rand 14.6 cents. In commodities, gold's up 0.1% at $2,159 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 1.75% at $86.42.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsey Crookall later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
2:45.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsey Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
A policy limiting when children at Ballacamine High School can use the toilet has been called unfair by a student. Last week, the head teacher, Graham Corrin, said pupils could only go to the loo during lessons under extraordinary circumstances. We so far haven't received a response to requests for an interview. Darcy May O'Sullivan goes to the school there, and she says she's been refused access to toilet under the new policy.
They've kind of said, do you have to go? Like, they start like questioning and interrupting the whole lesson, and then if we say, yeah, we do really need to go, then they're like, you can hold on, you can hold on. And we're like, we can't, we can't. And then they're like, you can just hold on for like another 15 minutes until break. And then you're like, I really need it now though, which I think's a bit unfair. All of our toilets have been locked during tutor times. We have to get our planners signed and stamped, and we have to leave them with a member of staff outside. We get timed while we go to the toilet, and it's just like a massive invasion of privacy, I think. We shouldn't have to be timed while we go to the toilet, especially since we're girls. We have to change our sanitary products and everything, but then it's kind of hard to do that if we've only got a limited amount of time to do that. If we're being timed while we're in the toilet, we don't really have time to either get a product off somebody else or be able to actually change it properly. I had an issue on Friday. I was denied access to the toilet during a lesson changeover because I didn't have my planner signed, but I wasn't in a lesson at the time. I was just going from one lesson to the other, and then I wasn't allowed to go to the toilet until I had my planner signed. But I was at the toilet waiting for like 10 minutes anyway to be able to actually go. And then by the time that it got to the end of the line where I was denied access, which I thought was pretty unfair.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Sean Cowper.
Fastamai, Castletown Football Club has thanked the ambulance service after its club director was taken ill during this weekend's combination match. Nigel McFarlane took ill pitch side and after receiving medical attention at the ground was taken to Nobles. The club has since confirmed in a statement on Facebook that Mr. McFarlane was subsequently found to have a bleed on the brain and has been transferred to Walton Hospital for further treatment. Castletown says its thoughts are with Nigel and his family at this time. The opening round of the Tower Insurance DTL League took place this weekend in misty conditions at Maryvaig. Visibility made it difficult for the 17 shooters, with Peter Lowe prevailing in the A class with 46 of 136. George Davis took the honours in the B class, with Brian Kelly securing victory in the C class. This weekend also saw the first round of the Sadler Agricultural Supplies ABT League, with Stephen Crane finishing top, while Giulio Fabrizio was the winner in the first round of the Manx Petroleum Olympic Skeet League. And in rugby, the North walked away victorious as the island hosted its first ever Cheshire RFU competition final on Saturday. Two Manx sides were battling it out for silverware, with Ramsey taking on Western Vikings in the Cheshire Plate final at Bala Fletcher. Cheshire RFU were in attendance to watch the milestone event.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way, a delay on the Dublin flight, should have been in at 20 past 4, will be in at 10 past 6 this evening. The 5:25 Loganair from Manchester came in on time. Next, it's the 5:08 Loganair from Liverpool, the returning patient transfer, that's on time. And the 8:05 Loganair from London City, showing on time. Outbound, that 4:45 Dublin flight, the Emerald Airways to Dublin, will be going out at about 6:25 tonight. And before that, the 6:00 Loganair to Liverpool, showing on time. There are temporary speed limits on sections of part of the TT course, the lower part of the course, in preparation for this week's TT. You've got temporary lights on Governor's Road between Blackberry Lane and Cork Hills roundabout in Oncombe. Temporary lights on Braddon Road near Strang Close for a temporary pedestrian crossing. And lights too on New Road, Laxey, between Old Laxey Hill and Lurgy Graw for crane work. St Jude Road's closed for resurfacing. And temporary lights on the Lazare Road at Kerramore for work on the pavements between Croncavoddy and Bagarrow. Temporary lights on the TT course near Handley's Corner. And temporary lights on the TT course between Craignabar and Hillbury for that 40-mile-an-hour speed limit. Lights on Somerset Road, Douglas, Newcastle Town Road, Douglas at the Groves Road Junction. Hillside Avenue is closed in Douglas, and a section of Switzerland Road closed till November. Temporary lights on Brighton Terrace in Douglas for a gas main replacement near Mount Bradder, and phase closures on the Starvey Road for water main work. In Colby, phase closures on Bala Kilferrick, and between the Cronk and Sandygate, temporary lights on the Bala Mona Road for water main laying.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside!
Oh, and just a quick word, the Heritage Trail off-road was due to reopen at the weekend, but it's still closed between Crosby and Glenvine for duct insulation. It's closed through until the 22nd, hopefully opening later on this week. A guerrilla gardening campaign that took place over the weekend had the desired effect, according to the Russian MHK who spearheaded it. Michelle Haywood planted a number of daffodils in the potholes on Port St Mary High Street on Saturday. She says she wanted to draw wider attention to the road, which has been collapsing for the best part of a decade.
It needs to go through the Capital Projects Fund, and the changes to were made to the budget a couple of years ago now. So those applications actually come forward four times a year now. So we have to wait till the next round of budget cycle for this to come in. I think the estimate is that this is going to be about £500,000 of spend. The road has collapsed primarily because the Iris pipeline runs through here and it wasn't backfilled properly. That's allowing the road to subside. And of course, once the surface has gone, rainwater washes through and all the fine material under the road starts washing away as well. So it needs to be completely dug out and rebuilt from quite a deep layer. And that's going to be a big job, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate time's tight. But this road has been collapsing now for the best part of 8 or 9 years. It won't get any better. It doesn't matter how many times you come along and patch this. And I'm grateful to all the commentators on social media who pointed out the DOI report a problem web link. That's great. I have reported several problems and taken lots of pictures over the years. This is beyond patching potholes. It looks a bit like a patchwork quilt in some bits of this road. It's way beyond that now. It is that the road needs reconstructing.
Update Brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
The Treasury Minister says departments are responsible for ensuring their spending doesn't exceed the budget allocation in the relevant year. Part of a written answer from Alex Allenson to the Speaker of the House of Keys. Here's Chanel with the detail.
Ewan Watterson had asked how cost improvement plans were being implemented across government. In response, Dr. Allenson says the majority of the net expenditure is within three key areas: health and social care, social security benefits, and education. He adds each department is responsible for establishing, delivering, and reviewing their own cost improvement plan. The minister goes on to say that the progress on cost improvements and mitigations is outlined in the management accounts and discussed when departments are invited to the Treasury Board. To be in line with Sir Jonathan Michael's recommendations, Mengs Care has a specific cost improvement plan and annual targets are factored into their funding. Treasury says it's also reviewing other cost improvement opportunities, which include those that cross multiple departments.
More powers to enact recommendations from complaints made to Manx Care will be welcome, says the Health and Social Care Ombudsman body. It's completed 44 complaints since July last year. It's dealing with 18 active cases, and Chair David Clegg has been giving evidence to the Public Accounts Committee.
It's a plus and a minus. We do have a lot of flexibility in some areas. We do also have what we would perhaps think of as a wish list in perhaps improvements that we would respectfully suggest. We recognise there are a couple of effectively open loops within the system. One of them is effectively that we submit our report to Manx Care, the complainant. We send the summary report to the department and we publish the summary report. Manx Care are then required to do their answer to the department, although they have very kind, we've agreed between ourselves and Manx Care that we will send them a copy of our summary report and they will send us a copy of their response, rather than us have to keep an eye on each other's websites effectively. But that's one of the open loops, is this between us, the department, and Manx Care in terms of knowing what's been done, but then in terms of the ability to audit effectively, is our powers relate to an active complaint, and we have very limited availability to go back to Manx Care, apart from simply writing to them saying, would you be good enough to let us know, did you keep to this timescale? Or if the complainant comes back to us and said they would do, for instance, a letter of apology by this day, I have not received it, in which case the complaint is still active. If it's training or something structural, we would have to rely at this stage on the department to continue to audit that. We don't have the power then to, out with the complaint, to go back in. We would see it if we got a complaint about a similar area, which does sometimes happen, where you would then see, we've already dealt with this, they promised to rectify this, has it actually been rectified?
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of the Manx Radio's News Department. Thanks to newsreader Tessa Hawley, producer Amy Griffiths. After the news at 6 o'clock, it's the Political Programme Agenda, hosted by Phil Gorn. Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley on the air at 6:30. Time for Brass with Ian Cottier at 9. Dave Moore at 10 with The Late Show. That's it. Thanks for tuning in. Back tomorrow at 5:30 for another update. WINT.